Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
The Delaware Valley boasts a host of world-class musicians. This week, we focus on the Delaware Chamber Music Festival, which, for 24 summers, has presented quality concerts featuring many of these outstanding artists. Music director Barbara Gavatos, a member of the Philadelphia Orchestra, is our guest today, and she speaks about the series and a special tribute concert dedicated to the memory of composer and pianist Sylvia Glickman, whose efforts sparked the establishment of the Hildegard Institute. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. It's very nice to be with you, Jill.
It's a pleasure to speak with you and to hear about what you're doing in addition to your full-time commitment with the Philadelphia Orchestra, which really is taking up, of course, most of your life. But through the years, you have been part of, or did, I don't know if you started it at all, the Delaware Chamber Music Festival?
Actually, I did not start the festival. It was started by Paul Marr, who was a cellist in the Wilmington, Delaware area. And for the first 5 years, I believe, he was the music director. And he actually got a board of directors together and started to make a basis for the festival to continue each summer. The idea was to have it in June, when not too many other concerts were going on, even in the Philadelphia area, especially not chamber music. So to have it be affordable to the public and to feature string music especially. He set it up so that there was a core string quartet, and then you would invite other instruments to join in. So, of course, piano, clarinet, flute, voice. And then he started to expand it a little bit because he became interested in conducting. And once he got the conducting bug,
that's right,
he needed a bigger force, you know.
Right.
So there was a principal cello opening in Nova Scotia, and he took that job. With the thought that also, you know, he would now concentrate on conducting. And so at that time, the board was looking for a new music director. And the president of the board contacted me and asked if I could help in the search. And I was thinking, Wilmington, my hometown, my family's there. Chamber music, I do a lot of that already.
Yes.
It's great. I was the music director of the Academy Chamber Players for 5 years here in Philadelphia. And we did a lot of wonderful concerts, not the least of which were benefit concerts to raise money for the homeless in Philadelphia. So anyway, at the time that Academy Chamber Players was sort of winding down its series of concerts, this opportunity for Delaware came about, and it seemed to suit me very well. So I've been there since 1990 as its music director.
And it takes the, actually the concerts take place in Wilmington at the Wilmington Music School, is
yes,
that right?
Yes.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that in terms of how one can get tickets for that, but it is coming up.
It is.
And what are the dates?
The first concert is Friday night, June 19th at 7:30. And so it's basically over two weekends in a row, so Friday night and Sunday afternoons. So it's the 19th, the 21st, the 26th, and the 28th.
And each concert is has got a theme, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. I've gone that route in the last couple of years. It seems to program or package things in a way that people seem to really like. And having a hook, I guess, is not such a bad thing.
Yes, and also there is such a resource. But one of the most moving aspects of this particular season is that you are dedicating a concert to women composers and especially the late Sylvia Glickman.
Yes, she was a great friend of mine, and I felt so fortunate to have met her early in my time in Philadelphia.
How did you meet Sylvia?
I graduated from Juilliard, which was also her alma mater, and I happened to be in the Free Library of Philadelphia looking for certain music, and I saw an advertisement for the Hildegard Chamber Players, and it was mentioning all the programs that were going to be played, and some of the musicians were also listed there as performers. And I noticed one of the pieces that I was very interested in was the Amy Beach Violin Sonata that I had heard a wonderful recording by the concertmaster of the Boston Symphony, Joseph Silverstein. He made this recording, and I happened to listen to it in the Juilliard Library years before this, and it made a huge impression on me, and I sort of put in the back of my brain, I want to play that piece at some point. So when I saw that listed there on the Hildegard Chamber Players program, but with no violinist announced, I thought, I need to contact this music director, this Sylvia Glickman. Well, I didn't get a chance to do that very quickly, and in the meantime, I was doing a concert of all the Brahms sonatas with Marcantonio Barone at the Ethical Society. And at the end of the concert, this petite woman with brown hair, very energetic looking, came up to me. She goes, I just loved your concert, and I have a question to ask you. And I said, sure, tell me who you are. She says, I'm Sylvia Glickman. And I know you have a concert series in the Hildegard Chamber Players. She says, how do you know that? I said, I saw that you have programmed the Amy Beach Sonata. She goes, yes, I want to ask you if you'll play it. I said, you've got to be kidding me. This is fate. Kismet. Absolutely.
Well, the funny part also is that I also went to Juilliard, and I knew Sylvia there in a cursory way. And then I came to Philadelphia. Well, it's 22 years ago now, but I never knew about her, who she was. And then one day someone talked to me about Sylvia Glickman doing some compositions, and I said, well, perhaps we'll interview her, and it turns out that I had met her because she was instrumental in my applying for a Fulbright, which I got. And again, it's a very strange
small
coming
world.
Around because you also a Juilliard graduate, and Sylvia, in her way, just touching on so many different lives. So we, unfortunately, she was ill. She passed away several years ago. I guess it's about 3 years now. And what you're going to do on this particular concert is not only to honor women, but also to do some of her works, isn't that
absolutely
right?
This concert is inspired definitely by my participation in the Hildegard Chamber Players and wanting to continue her idea for the Hildegard Institute was to sponsor concerts that not only played women's music from all different centuries, just to show the breadth and the depth of what is available out there for people to play and to experience listening to, but also to incorporate women's music on a regular program, you know, so that it's not all women's music all the time.
Is it still something of an issue in terms of, well, there are all these great composers and then there are the women?
You know, I feel, especially in Philadelphia, that's not the case anymore, and I'm so happy to be able to say that. And I think that Sylvia's idea really brought a great awareness to women's music. Certainly modern music of women is getting played much more often. Certainly Jennifer Higdon is one of the most performed women artists today.
But, of course, there were some wonderful artists hundreds of years ago. And as you say, Fanny Mendelssohn and, of course, Amy Beach.
Clara Schumann.
Clara Schumann.
The list goes on and on.
But the point was society was different. Life was different. The woman's role was different. And I believe it wasn't even something that one – it's like being on the stage. It was considered really off color. I mean, one would never admit that they were on the stage. No, that's not the proper place for women. And Amy Beach, of course, used Mrs. H.H.H. Beach until her husband passed away. So tell us a little bit more now about the ladies' first concert. I mean, you are playing Fanny Mendelssohn. You're going to be doing someone by the name of Ingrid
Arauco.
Who is she?
Ingrid actually is a wonderful composer whose music has been played a lot by Network for New Music. And she sent me a long time ago a solo piece for violin, which was very, very difficult. And I said, wow, at some point I really need to buckle down and learn this piece. I still haven't learned the piece.
Okay.
But she was a composer of great interest to me. And then about a year and a half ago, I was putting together a couple of concerts at Swarthmore and Haverford of all women's music under Hildegard Chamber Players' auspices. And Michael Schmidt and Charles Abramovic let me know about this piece that Ingrid had written for cello and piano, which turned out to be a wonderful piece. And so we played it a few times. And then I found out that Ingrid lives in Delaware, which is just too natural.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's right. Turns out that she lives like beyond the creek behind my family home.
Oh,
you know?
My heavens.
So I spoke to her about writing a chamber work for the Delaware Chamber Music Festival. And boy, she didn't waste any time. And within a few months, she told me, you know what? It just came very easily. She sat down at the piano and she was through with it in a matter of weeks.
So this is a world premiere that
yes,
you're
it is.
Doing.
Uh-huh.
And this is a divertimento for trumpet, violin, and cello. Now, you of course, invite different instrumentalists
yes.
to participate.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Ferrara was going to be the trumpet soloist,
yes.
along with Yumi Kendall, who is actually part of your regular group. Isn't
actually, she does a lot of the outreach that the festival does during the year. When we're not playing the summertime concerts, the rest mm-hmm. of the time we're out in the schools in Delaware.
And also there is a gentleman on the program, but you couldn't really overlook him, who you work with quite a bit, is Charles Abramovic.
Yes, we're very, very glad that he can come to Delaware and play for us there, too.
And we were thrilled that you could come here and record for us in our studio here. Now, there's another gentleman on the program as well. How did he manage to get on that?
Well, as part of the idea of Hildegard that, you know, the mission statement is to include women's music on regular concert programming, we decided Beethoven was a very
not a bad person
to have as
yeah.
a standard bearer.
That's
you know?
Wonderful. So
also,
this is
what's very interesting to me, when I think about women composers as compared to gentlemen composers from before their time or of their time, let's say mostly like from the Romantic era, the 19th century, late 19th century. These women, I was talking with Charlie the other day, and he was saying, you know, one thing that all of these women composers have in common is that it's awkward. The piano parts are very awkward. So I countered, and I said, well, is Beethoven awkward to play, or does it just sit really well on the fingers? He says, no, you're right. Beethoven's awkward, too.
And I said, we can't get rid of that.
Well, it's interesting. Don't you think that women of that era who were really talented, they were fabulous pianists in their own right, and fabulous composers as well, and they had to sort of prove themselves in everything that they did. They had to be mm-hmm. almost better. I mean, it's funny to me, all the music that I've done for Sylvia's Hildegard players, almost every piece has had a fugue in it. It's like they want to prove their craft in the things that they write.
But evidently that I don't want to call it discrimination, but there's always that caveat by men, well, it's a woman composer, and that makes it different, and that makes it more difficult. But it's not. It's probably the same hurdles had to be overcome by the women composers as well, and pianists, as you say. I mean, the fact that you even cite that is something, it's still there. I guess there's something to be said in the musical community that, well, it's, you know, women are playing and they're very, very prominent in orchestras now and certainly in the United States.
Oh, and great soloists as well.
Yes, great soloists. But in terms of composers, I still think that's another field that has to be, I mean, it's opened up, but you're talking about contemporary composition. So I guess the more you explore the annals of music, the more you will find possibly women who were valiant enough to write music in the time when they really weren't supposed to.
Absolutely. I'm just thinking about Hildegard herself, you know, being an abbess.
Oh, wondering. And yeah, well, she was
all
amazing.
All the way back to the
yeah.
beginning, you know. Or
just amazing.
Close to the beginning anyway.
Yes. Well, in any case, so now you also have another program, the French. Well, you have Hungarian, French, Spanish, and, of course, the Ladies First mm-hmm. program. What are you doing on the Couleur Exotique? That's going to be quite a beautiful show as well.
Well, this program actually started with my great love of the first piece on the program, which is by Ravel, the Scheherazade, which will be sung by mezzo and piano. This is a piece, of course, that we've played with the Philadelphia Orchestra many times, and it just captures me every time and transports me to a different place, and maybe a fairy tale idea of what the Orient is like, Asia is about. Certainly you won't find that these days when you travel to the Orient.
Was this originally written for mezzo and piano, or was it an orchestrated work?
You know, I've seen it for soprano and piano, and I've seen it for mezzo, sometimes with a flute obbligato too for the second movement, which is the enchanted flute.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in at the end sort of as a remembrance of hearing the sound of the flute. That's the lover's kiss against the cheek of the person singing.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yes, it's really gorgeous poetry, which was written by a friend of Ravel's. So that was the start for this program. And then Marc Antonio Barone is going to be the pianist for that program. We also have Carla Dierlikov, who is a wonderful mezzo who's at AVA right now, the Academy of Vocal
yes.
Arts.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very dramatic singer, beautiful voice. And then Marc Antonio and I recently gave the area premiere of Messiaen's Fantasy for violin and piano. And we did that for Orchestra 2001 back in December, and we thought this would be a perfect program to repeat that on. It comes from the same time of his Quartet for the End of Time.
Yes.
So it has that same feeling about it.
Yes. Barbara, who are the other artists on the French program?
The cellist for that program is one of our astral artists. His name is Clancy Newman. He's mm-hmm. played a lot around Philadelphia.
Yes.
And he's one of our favorites and is part of the regular quartet we call the Festival Quartet for the yes. Delaware Chamber Music Festival. And he asked if he could play the Debussy Sonata, and I said, absolutely.
Oh, that's
great. Great, great masterwork.
Just beautiful.
And he also requested the Fauré Piano Quartet that we're playing, the G minor. So that program will be absolutely gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
Exotic colors. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very beautiful.
Yes.
So, and let's not leave out the Spanish program, The Flavors of Spain. And you pointed out to me that Teresa Carreño, mm-hmm. was she a pianist?
She was a wonderful pianist, yes, and quite celebrated during her time. She composed most of her works towards the earlier part of her life. She was known as a child prodigy. Both in her pianist, as a pianist, and also for her compositions. And the piece that we're going to play is a string quartet, it's an amazing work for anyone, actually. When I think about her being so young and writing it, it just sort of blows my mind.
So you're playing that on the program, but we have a lovely excerpt from a disc where Silvia plays
yes.
solo piano, and this is a little
Teresita's waltz.
Yes,
waltz. This is something that Carreño used to play at the end of her programs when she would go and do recitals, sort of a nice closer.
Mm-hmm.
And Silvia played this on one of the Hildegard programs, so I thought it would be nice for you to get to hear her playing.
Well, of course, Silvia was a pianist at Juilliard. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was amazing. That was her instrument.
Yes.
I don't know when she started composing. Are you aware of that?
The pieces that I'm aware of that she composed are generally from the 1980s on.
Because the Hildegard Institute was founded in 1990, so
yeah.
I guess she must have become very aware as well of composition. But that was really not her bent, I don't think,
initially. Not at
initially.
First. I mean, I remember she was the piano accompanist for my teacher at Juilliard, way before I went to Juilliard, of course. But so she would accompany violinists in his class. That was in Ivan Galamian's class.
Yes.
So she probably accompanied some really fabulous violinists during that time. And she played a lot of chamber music. She used to play with the Di Pasquale Quartet on the Villanova series.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the composing came later. We have to remember, of course, she also was traveling with her husband. Wherever Harvey went to teach, she was right there.
Right.
And she started up whatever she was doing. She was teaching piano. She was doing chamber music series, no matter where, you know, he ended up. And so she met people all over the world because of that. And I believe she went to the Royal College of Music in London. And I know that she wrote a piece that won an award at that time. Now, what year she wrote that, I can't tell you.
But it's kind of interesting to find out just exactly if this was something that was always brewing or this was something that evolved.
I think it was always brewing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there were probably pieces that she wrote that have not been published. Maybe she didn't want them published.
We had, of course, a rather moving album that we did receive, the Walls Are Quiet Now, which mm-hmm. was about the Holocaust. So
yes.
This was going to be a really very beautiful concert and also a very meaningful one. And I think the entire mission of your Chamber Music Festival is so admirable. And aren't we lucky to have you every year now? Now, of course, you have some other favorites on that Spanish program, the Flavors of Spain, music of Turina and Falla and Sarasate
yes.
as well, isn't
And people
right?
ask me, you know, how do you choose your programs? And I say, well, a lot of it has to do with what the artist would like to play. First of all, I ask them the year before, like when we're finishing the concerts from the summer before. Okay, now while I have you, tell me, what is it you want to play? Sometimes it just has to do with my personal taste and things that I want to add to my knowledge. And so for the Spanish program, actually, the Turina pieces interested me very much. We're doing the La Oración del Torero, The Bullfighter's Prayer.
Which is a very unusual work.
Yes, it was originally written for lutes, four lutes.
Really?
Yes, and then he did it for string quartet, and of course now it's been arranged for every combination, including Yasha Heifetz made his own for
really?
Violin and
did
piano.
He, did
yes,
he, did he.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so that's a piece I've always wanted to play, and it seems to have fallen a little bit out of fashion. I haven't seen it on programs for a very long time.
Well, I can say here at WRTI, we used to play it quite a bit, and we haven't programmed it as well either.
Well, maybe now you'll play it again.
Well, now we'll do it again.
Come back into your consciousness.
Or if you haven't been able to hear, you must go to the Flavors of Spain concert on the 28th of June. That's a 3 o'clock concert. That's in the afternoon. So the concerts vary. Some are in the afternoon, and there are two that are in the evening. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
So if you have plans for the afternoon, or you don't have plans for the afternoon, you can go to the concert and go to dinner, or you can go to dinner and then to the concert. So
absolutely.
It's a wonderful, very, very accessible, and a delight once again to have this lovely source of fine music in our area. Now, Barbara, you haven't talked about the kickoff concert, the Hungarian Flavors. That's the first one, and that's an evening concert at 7:30 on June 19th.
That's a concert that I've named Hungarian Flavors because we're doing music by Erno Dohnányi, his sextet, for violin, viola, cello, piano, clarinet, and horn. So we try to get some unusual instruments in there playing with us.
And some special guests joining us.
Yes, we have
right?
Jeffrey Lang from the Philadelphia Orchestra and Igor Begelman, who used to be an astro artist. He lives in New York, and he has played with us a lot, but we haven't seen him for several years now, so we're really happy to be able to welcome him back. There's a bit of Brahms on the program, of course. We wanted to do the G minor piano quartet, which has that rondo alla zingarese, so it's very Hungarian flavor. And of course, I'll play the Hungarian dance number 5. How could you have a Hungarian program without that?
And
the Jeno Hubai Hirsch Kati for violin and piano, which I'm looking forward to. That's my first time out with this piece.
Okay, that's a real solo.
Yeah,
so
it's
that'd
a
be
wonderful
great.
Piece,
wonderful. That's
yeah.
exciting. So that's the opening concert, mm-hmm. isn't that right?
Thank you
so
very much.
So the season is June 19th. It starts, actually, the 2009 season. The concerts are June 19th, 21st, 26th, 28th. How does one get tickets for the concert?
Well, you can show up at the door and get tickets, or you can order them in advance. I can give you the phone number.
It's and what is that?
Area code 302-442-0572. You can go online to our website and take a look at all the programs in detail and also get information about the artists and directions and anything you ever wanted to know about the Delaware Chamber Music Festival. The web address is www.dcmf.org.
And there are adult and senior and student
and subscriptions
and so on.
Yes.
Wonderful having you, Barbara. I'm so used to seeing you sitting in the violin section, but you are a very, very strong presence in the orchestra. It's a pleasure to have you here at WRTI and Crossover.
Thank you.
Our guest today has been violinist Barbara Gravatos. And although we haven't spoken with him, Charles Abramovic pianist performing live in our WRTI studios.